He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through. Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, He saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It is written, as he passed by from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. It is written, Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest, and he that soweth and he that reapeth gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And Jesus went about in all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of disease and all manner of sickness. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were distressed and scattered, as sheep not having a shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into his harvest. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve. Waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Go then, ever weeping, sowing for the Master. Though the loss sustained, our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, the Lord of the harvest. What do you see in a great assembly, such as the World Series, where thousands of people are gathered together? What do you see when the old year goes out and the new year comes in as you look at that great assembly? What do you see as you watch the great crowd at the Rose Bowl parade? What do you see in that great crowd that watches a Super Bowl contest? Jesus looked upon the same crowd and sees a harvest of lost human souls that will perish because the reapers are few. Jesus said the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. That prayer needs to be prayed by every Christian as we look upon lost humanity and hear Jesus say to us, as in John chapter 4, "Lift up your eyes on the fields that are already white unto harvest, and he that reapeth gathereth fruit unto life eternal." In the gospel story, here are four candidates for the ministry. Of the first three, one was a scribe, and the other two from the multitude of disciples. The scribe told Jesus, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Then there was another of his disciples who said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And then another who wanted to go home and say farewell to those he was leaving behind. The first one was ready to follow Jesus right now. The other two wanted to wait a while. To the first, Jesus said, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the heaven have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Jesus says, "Do you really want to follow me, where there may be no housing and no hospitalization insurance?" Many today may be turned off by the possibility of such a lifestyle. But suppose God had said, "Sending my son Jesus to planet Earth is too hard on him. I think I'll keep him up here in heaven with me and let the world go to hell." I had a professor in Bible college one day who gave us fair warning. One day he looked over the class and said, "Boys, you're not a man until you have been crucified." Now the second one in this story said, "Suffer me first to go and bury my father." This man wanted to wait a while and then follow. Jesus said unto him, "Follow me, and leave the dead to bury their own dead. But go thou and publish abroad the kingdom of God." While we know the Lord would not want this man to neglect his family, it may have been because this man was using this as an excuse. When his father died, he might very well say, "I have to wait a while longer to get the estate settled." A man told me one time he wanted to become a Christian. He wanted to be immersed for the remission of his sins, but he would have to wait until his father died. His father died later, and he was still not ready. After several more years, he died, and he never did get ready to obey the Lord. "Suffer me first to go and bury my father." The third one wanted to follow Jesus and also wanted to wait a while until he could say farewell to those that are at his house. But Jesus said to him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Before the days of mechanization, when farmers plowed with a horse and plow, there was an oft-told story in those days of a young man who went out to plow corn. It was a hot, humid day, and he looked up and saw a strange cloud formation. He left the team in the field and went home and told his father he had been called to preach the gospel. "Why," he said, "I saw white clouds in the form of the letters in the sky, and it spelled out G-P-C. Evidently the Lord has called me to go and preach Christ." His dad said, "Son, I think G-P-C means go plow corn." The decision to preach Christ is not to be taken lightly. When the apostles received their orders of world conquest just before the ascension, did they wonder, how they would finance this worldwide program. In all probability, any 11 of us right now have more money on our persons than the apostles had with them when Jesus gave them their orders of world conquest. It doesn't seem that they were concerned where the money was coming from, because they were talking to the risen Lord, and they figured if he could raise the dead, raising the money was a minor problem. And this ought to encourage us some, according to what Paul said in Ephesians. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Think of that. God is able. But not only that, God is able to do. But not only that, God is able to do exceeding abundantly. But not only that, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. But not only that, God is able to do exceedingly above all that we can ever ask. But not only that, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. But not only that, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But not only that, God is able. And don't forget it. All three of the candidates so far were concerned about following Jesus when they could afford it. Since we do not have the insight of the Lord Jesus in every other man's situation, it is not for us to censure any person who waits for a more opportune time. There may be a fine line between faith and foolishness. However, it is abundantly true that many a person has waited for that opportune time and rendered valuable service this way, and many do. While at the same time, we can't help but admire the philosophy of the revolutionary who works without the net of security. These are the ones who are accused of turning the world upside down. God is always looking for a man with a Matthew mentality. When he was called, it says, and he left all, rose up, and followed him. Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. One wonders if these three had known where the Lord was going, would they have been so anxious to go? Lord, where are you going? Imagine a conversation similar to the one following. Jesus says, if you will follow me, the first thing you need to do is get in the boat. Great, Lord, great. Where are we going? Lord, are we going on a cruise? No, not exactly. We are going into a storm. A storm, Lord? Yes, a storm. The thunder will resound. The lightning will crackle. The wind will blow. And it will be a storm where experienced fishermen will despair of life. The kind of a storm where everything will depend on me or all will be lost. Do you still want to follow me? Actually, this story that happened about 2,000 years ago has its counterpart in the church today. On the day of Pentecost, the old ship of Zion was launched. And the crew was the same crew that was on that fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee. And here they are again on the OSZ. The old ship of Zion was launched on the day of Pentecost, and preachers and teachers today, using the words of the apostles, are the crew on the OSZ. We too, in the service of the old ship of Zion, will sail into many a storm. We will encounter the hurricanes of heresy. Constantly people will assail us with questions in the cult area. Sabbath day, tongues, astrology, witchcraft, and a rejection of the way of salvation. Constantly the questions will come even from members of the church. Then there will be the icebergs of indifference. Many will come on Sunday morning if they feel like it, and stay home if they don't. While a donut and a cup of coffee may give us a jump start for the inspirational message, we will despair that the church will really ever go anywhere. All looks hopeless. And then add to this the winds of worldliness, and things look even worse. There doesn't seem to be any difference between members of the church and people of the world. Close to this are the gales of godlessness. Then pile on top of this that the crew is always in a state of mutiny, and the worst part of it is the preacher may be blamed for the failure of the voyage, whether he is or not, and be set adrift without a compass. Then the time comes for us as it was with the apostles in the boat. It seems the Lord is asleep concerning our problems. They complained, "Carest thou not that we perish?" It may seem to us sometimes that the Lord is oblivious to the storm that we face. But it is well to remember the sleeping Christ is aware of our storm, and the song says it well. No storm can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and land and skies. And that brings us to the fourth man who would follow Jesus. His name was Legion. And when they came to the other side, they came to the country of the Gadarenes, and there met him a man possessed with demons. Legion was a menace to society, and all efforts to tame him had failed. Jesus cast out the demons, and they went into the 2,000 hogs that jumped off the hill and drowned in the water, belly up. And when the people saw what Jesus did, they told him to depart from their borders. I asked a farmer one time, how much does a pig cost? He said a rule of thumb would be $100 for a pig just big enough to take to market. Using that figure, the 2,000 hogs must have been at least $200,000 lost to the local economy. Lord, you cost too much. You're too expensive. Depart. They had a strange sense of values. They thought more of ham than heaven. They thought more of bacon than baptism. They thought more of sausage than salvation. They thought more of pork chops than prayer. They thought more of hog houses than church houses. They thought more of lard than the Lord. More of chitlins than Christ. The situation at Gadara was a microcosm of life today. For one thing, Legion had his dwelling in the tombs. Evidence today of cemeteries in every community bears witness that every person on this planet will die in just a few years. And beyond this, the tombs are a silent reminder of the teaching of spiritual deadness of people without Christ. In Colossians 2, the scripture says, Paul reminds us, that at one time we were all dead in trespasses and sins, and then were made alive when we were buried with Christ in baptism and raised up. At that point, our sins were nailed to the cross. Without obedience to Christ, you are a walking, breathing corpse. Another similarity in Gadara and the modern day is the breaking of chains. Legion broke the chains and locks that bound him, and no man could tame him. This is the fulfillment of the words of the psalmist in the second chapter when he predicted that they shall break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. The world today wants to be free from the restraints of any moral law of God. The morality of the Ten Commandments has been trashed. Today, the polls are our guides of morality. I saw a cartoon in a magazine that showed Moses holding the Ten Commandments, and a black-robed figure standing beside him identified as the court. And the black-robed fellow was saying to Moses, "Hey, bub, where do you think you're going with that thing?" Good question. We are all wondering today just how far will they go? We are living in the days that, not unlike Isaiah talked about in the 5th chapter of Isaiah, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put light for darkness and darkness for light, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Things that used to be regarded as a disgrace are now regarded as normal behavior. And how does God feel about that? The psalmist says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall hold them in derision. Another observation with Gadara and the present day is the devilish statement. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? The world today wants nothing to do with Christ, his church, his word, as revealed in the New Testament. Depart from our borders is the message of the world to Jesus Christ. That request has an ominous sound. It is the same request Jesus will make on the day of judgment in Matthew 25. Since they told the Lord to depart, he will tell them, depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire. Jesus will not stay anywhere if he's not wanted. He got in the boat to leave, and Legion made the request to go with him. Jesus refused and gave him a commission instead. He said, go unto thy house, unto thy friends, and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee, and how he had mercy on thee. Listen, Legion wanted to go with the Lord. Actually, the Lord told him, you cannot go with me, but I will go with you. That is what Jesus always says in a commission. Go ye, I will be with you always. Legion accepted that commission and went throughout all the region of Decapolis and told them what great things the Lord had done for him, and all men marveled. Now, I don't know the details, don't know the particulars, but one day Legion was walking down the street. One of his old buddies saw him and said, hey, Leege, is that you? Last time I saw you, you were all scratched up like a man who climbed a thorn tree with a chainsaw in his hand and a wildcat under each arm. Legion said, it's true. I used to cut myself with knives and rocks. And you should have seen my innards. My insides were all scratched up with all that booze I was swilling and all that fire I was sucking into my lungs. One day I met Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, and I don't do that anymore. Another time an old buddy saw him and said, hey, Leege, is that you? Last time I saw you, you were running around town naked. Now you're all dressed up with a three-piece suit and alligator shoes. What in the world happened to you, man? Legion said, it's true. I used to be known as the town streaker. One day I met Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, and I was embarrassed. And I've been wearing clothes ever since. Then another time an old buddy saw him and said, hey, Leege, the last time I saw you, you were down at the cave feeding on all that rotten dead meat. We miss you down at the cave, man. Where have you been? Legion said, it's true. I used to like to frequent all those hell holes, bars, and saloons, but I surely did enjoy that rotten smell. One day I met Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, and I can't stand those places anymore. Mark tells us how Jesus came back to Decapolis later on, and they brought to him a man that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Jesus spat on the ground, put his fingers in his ears, and said, be thou opened. The man heard and spake plain. The people were impressed this time and said, he hath done all things well. He maketh even the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Evidently they changed their minds. Now these people think more of heaven than ham, more of Christ than chitlins, more of baptism than bacon, more of the church than church houses than hog houses, more of prayer than pork chops. They think more of the Lord than lard. What changed these people? Evidently the Legion had been faithful to the commission given to him. Go and tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee, and how he had mercy on thee. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus has also given the Christian the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So lift up your eyes upon the fields that are already white unto harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into his harvest. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Is there some desert, Father, or some pathless sea, where thou, good God of angels, wilt send me? Some oak to rend, some rock to break, some handful of golden grain to take and scatter far afield, till it shall yield 100-fold of grain of gold to be fed the waiting children of my God. Show me that desert, Father, or that sea. Is it thine enterprise? Great God, send me. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Until next week at the same time, don't forget, tell someone, somehow, and in some way that God is just a prayer away.
Your God is just a prayer.